Thank you for tuning in to The Light of Conscience, where the knowing that exists where thoughts do not lights the way. Subscribe to stay inspired. The best compliment you can give us is to share this with a friend. You can also leave a rating, write a review to help others find us. The more the merrier in the light of conscience.
Love itself is molding us into what we be. Why wait for tomorrow when right now we can be free? So break down your defenses and throw away your shield and give yourself this moment to believe in what you feel.
Aloha, everybody. I am here with Lonnie Kwan of Creating Your Calling today, and I cannot wait for you to meet her. Here she is. Lonnie, welcome to the Light of Conscience podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here. It's wonderful to hear your beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you. And it same goes to you. I am so loving so much right now. And I'm just thinking about the first time we met because I knew. You know what I mean? I could exactly. See your light and it was just like, oh, yeah, this one.
Exactly. It's when you meet soul family. You know, there's no shields up. You just instantly know each other, even though you've never met before. You feel comfortable right away. I felt the same way.
That's so awesome. I'm so glad too. That makes me feel happy. So you're all about empowerment. I want to know first how you came into your own empowerment, how you recognized or realized that you are a way shower, or when. Can you just let us know a little bit about that?
Definitely. I think it's an ongoing process of releasing layers. You know, we go through life and early on there are traumas that occur and we each of us handle them in our unique ways. For me, I came through a really dark time in my life in 2002. I was living in Michigan. And I'm from here. I'm from Hawaii. And you can imagine the winters were very, very difficult for me. And I was experiencing seasonal affective disorder, but I didn't know what that was. I mean, I knew about seasonal affective disorder. I just didn't know the symptoms of that and the depression that comes with seasonal affective disorder. And I was also injured. I had injured my back. Doing too many things for too many people. I'm sure many of your listeners will relate to that, where we really want to make the world a better place, but we overdo. And I wasn't taking good care of myself. I didn't realize that I needed to take good care of myself and rest. And so I got injured. I was dealing with winter and at a point where I became suicidal. I was that down. And the thing that got me through that was recognizing that it wasn't always going to be that way, that I could do things to make myself feel better and also to help others, and also knowing that my calling was about teaching and about writing and reaching out. At that point, I was a teacher. I was teaching English as a second language. I was teaching English composition, loved my students, loved the work that I was doing, but it wasn't it. You know, it wasn't exactly what I was meant to do. And so I also did some volunteer coordination and some crisis counseling. I worked at a rape crisis and domestic violence shelter. Very rewarding work, very draining work. And it was close to what I was meant to do, but it wasn't it. And so I knew that I needed to go deeper. And so I went into the depression, I went into the pain, and what I found underneath the depression was anger, extreme rage, and a deep sense of unfairness in the world, feeling that certain things are so unjust, it's so unfair, and then what am I going to do about it, right? It comes up to, what am I personally, as an individual, going to do to make the world a better place? And I sat with that for a long time. I was very fortunate to get some good counseling to get through that dark period of my life. And I started to realize that I had a gift for helping people figure out for themselves what it is they really are here to do and how to get there. Because a lot of times people feel overwhelmed and daunted by how big their life mission is Or maybe there's more than one part of their life mission and they're just terrified. They're like, how can I do this? I can't. But the truth is, if we break anything into smaller pieces and we take it step by step, we really can bring it about. And part of it is facing our deepest fears in order to do it. Part of it is facing that lack of self-worth issue that a lot of us who are way showers have. You know, a lot of us, it's so ironic, we're here to transform the world and help people make it a better place, and yet we have this deep, deep feeling of unworthiness that is completely illogical, makes no sense. When I went into what that was, it actually was grief. It was grief, and it was, you and I have talked about this, about being empathic and how we take on other people's emotions. And what I realized is not all of that depression was mine. When I realized that, it lightened up immediately and I could just handle my own stuff instead of taking on the entire, all the cares of the world on my own shoulders. And then the other thing that really helped was realizing that I could connect with other way showers, that I could be around uplifting, loving people. And that actually charged me up instead of trying to constantly help people who brought myself down. So I still, you know, I care about everyone and I really genuinely care about the people who are going through hard times also. But I found it was really healthy to not constantly be around that. It was important to cultivate friendships and relationships that were uplifting to me as well. And that made a big difference. So I hope that I answered your question. That was pretty much the darkest, deepest, darkest time I went through. But I knew that I was here. I've known since I was a child that I was here to help people figure out what they want to do.
You answered everything, and it was like you were talking to me or even as me at some points there with the depression and realizing that it was a deep anger which stemmed from that deep grief. And the grief was about how unfair and how, I don't even know if the word unfair does it for me, as just how cruel this world is, that that humanity has just, what? Like, yeah. Wait, where's the love? Like, did we really have to fall so far from love to be able to find it again? It's a confusion, right? For us empaths or sensitive people, it's, oh my gosh, you really, that was very powerful. Thank you for sharing that story, Lonnie.
You're welcome. And I remember as a child being confused as to why everybody didn't just have a house and why everybody didn't just have food and why everybody didn't just have healthcare and water and, you know, all the basic necessities of life and why there was a monetary value placed on those things. I felt very much like an alien, like I wasn't from this planet, that, you know, the things my parents and family members were concerned with didn't interest me in the slightest. I was not into celebrity. I had no interest in money, and I still really don't. I mean, I make a living doing what I do, but that's not the main focus of what I do. It's just a real sense of wanting everyone to have enough and to have it be distributed fairly and to have people live to their highest potential. What an amazing world we would live in if everyone were doing the things that are meaningful to them and contributing that to the larger world. We would have such a beautiful world instead of what we currently have, which is this inequity and despair.
Yeah, and destruction.
Exactly.
And fear. It's just, there's so much fear. And to hold yourself in the light of your own conscience, which is a phrase that just says it all to me, it's not easy. And this podcast, I mean, Lonnie is like the most bubbly, joyful person I know, just everyone, so you know that. But in that same vein, we understand that it, to hold yourself in that light is the greatest gift that we can give.
It is. And it's also about wholeness. It's about accepting the darkness within and outside of ourselves and embracing choice and choosing the light, even though we may be tempted by the dark. And even though there are moments in our lives when we're depressed or angry or fearful or sad, you know, just knowing that each of those emotions serves a purpose, that they help us to remain on target. If we don't acknowledge those things and we're just Pollyanna-ish, you know, we don't really get to the depth of what we're here to do. I really believe that all aspects of being human are beneficial. It's just that we have to be mindful of it and choose wisely so that we're acting from our highest self, from the highest good for all. And I often, whenever I'm trying to make a difficult decision, I ask myself, what would be a win-win outcome for everyone? And that really steers me in the right direction, because if it's just good for me, it's no good. If it's just good for you, it's no good. If it's just good for a government entity or a company or organization or a military, it's not good. It has to be good for everyone and the environment and animals. It's what I call co-powerment, that it has to be about each person empowering themselves and then connecting in meaningful ways with others, aligning with like-souled, like-minded, like-hearted people to make the world a better place.
That was so beautiful. I'm so happy you mentioned the animals. I feel like the animals brought me to Earth, and that's why I'm here. So you share empowerment strategies with not only individuals, but also with companies and organizations. Right now, because this podcast is going into individuals' ears, can we talk a little bit about that? Or do you have any strategies that you're willing to share with our listeners about how to empower themselves?
Definitely. I've been a coach for 15 years and I've been a public speaker for 5. So my coaching background is more extensive. It came out of a teaching and crisis counseling volunteer coordination background. So if you're interested, you can get a download from my website at www.copowerment.com. And it's a helpful worksheet exploration that helps people to figure out what they're doing, whether it's in alignment or not with what they want to be doing, and how they're currently spending their time, and how they could tweak it so that it's more in alignment. For example, I was working with a client who realized she wanted to spend time with her husband, but he was sort of wanting to watch things on TV that she really didn't want to watch. And she realized that time was not really great for her. They were watching the news. It was depressing. She realized that rather than spending time doing that, she'd rather schedule a date with him where they're, you know, talking one-on-one, and then spend the time that he's watching the news with other friends and be able to enjoy herself. So that was a profound and yet subtle, very small change that she could make for herself and become aware of how she's spending her time, what are habits that might be interfering with her ability to do what she wants to do.
So you just said my favorite word, habit.
Yeah. You know, habit, there are good habits. There are habits that are good and right and healthy and that allow us to feel better about ourselves. And then there are habits that we just fall into, things that aren't even necessarily our habits. Sometimes we do it because our partner is interested in those things. And so that particular client realized, oh, I'm wasting an hour each day watching depressing news with somebody I love, yes, but we're not really connecting. And so she was able to adjust that to have a weekly date with her husband instead, where they really were connecting, and then taking that extra hour for herself. She took herself to the bookstore. She took herself to visit with friends. She took herself out. You know, just really a wonderful awareness of how she was spending her time and how she could choose to spend it better. And then I had another client who realized she was always worrying. And in fact, so much so that she decided to go into counseling for her anxiety. She realized how much worrying was sapping her energy and taking away from her quality of life. she didn't realize until she'd filled that form in how anxious she was all the time. And so that was a wonderful blessing because we could continue coaching together, but she also got the psychological support that she needed. And, you know, many, many others, many other clients over the years have found this tool to be useful. I often fill it in myself whenever I'm at a crossroads and I'm not sure where I'm headed. I'll fill in the form and it'll help me remember what's really important and what's not important.
This form seems incredibly valuable. And after this call, I am going to find it.
Yay, it's in the sidebar. It's in the sidebar on the website.
Excellent. I'm really looking forward to filling it out myself. I am in a bit of a transition myself, I would say. I'm not exactly sure how or when or what it looks like, but I can just feel it. And so this is going to be really fun for me.
Excellent. I'm so glad. I'm glad we could connect by phone today too.
Oh, yes, definitely. And I get to share your voice and your message and your story and your light. And it just, that is something that is so fun for me. I absolutely love it. Do you have go ahead.
I was just going to say, I feel like that's more and more becoming your mission, and it's going to expand even more so through your beautiful music, as well as through public speaking. I really see you in front of large audiences doing this and helping facilitate other people to open their voice to be able to sing as well.
Oh, sing. Oh, okay. I just want people to be able to say who they are and share their own voice and speak. If that means sing, that's great. Like I said, I don't know exactly how this is unfolding, but I'm really excited about the Mastery Intensive pilot group right now, and it just is blowing my mind. And I'm just like, okay, this is something. I don't know what, but I can't wait to see how this develops. And so thank you for that mirroring, that reflection, Lonnie. That was really sweet. And I'm just curious to know if you have any other suggestions or any other message or thing you want to say to the Light of Conscience community, any inspiration?
Well, I think right now, you know, we're going through a very difficult time in the world, not just in our country, but in the world, where people are feeling very frightened and there are interests at play that are not empowering, and to say the least. I just wrote an article for Natural Awakenings magazine, and it came out this month in October, and it's about maintaining hope in difficult times. How do we as individuals maintain our center? How do we maintain hope when things seem hopeless? And there were several very basic things that I suggested and came across in my research. You know, of course, noticing our breath, noticing if we're holding our breath, if our breath is even, noticing if we can make our exhale slightly longer than our inhale, that will calm us down and help us to be more centered and grounded. And then, of course, the basics, sleep, which when you're worried and feeling scared is hard to come by sometimes. Nutrition, as well as hanging out with other uplifting people and trying not to hang out with people who are Debbie Downers and catastrophizers, really doing our best. It's not always possible. Sometimes those catastrophizers and Debbie Downers are family members. We may not have a choice all the time about who we hang out with, but we always have a choice about how it impacts us personally. So, you know, the article just came out in October. It's online as well as in stores across the islands, all of the islands. And it really helps people to figure out how to maintain hope during this difficult time.
Lonnie, can you tell us how to find it online? Because not all the listeners live in Hawaii.
Oh, sure. If you Google Natural Awakenings Hawaii and you type in maintaining hope in difficult times, the article should pop up then. They can also go to my website. It's linked there as well.
Okay. And that's copowerment.com.
That's correct.
Awesome. How else could they connect with you if they wanted to work with you? I know obviously your website, but are you on social media? Do you have Instagram and all that?
Yes, I am. I'm at Copowerment on Instagram, and on Facebook, I'm at Creating Your Calling. And, you know, I'm also on LinkedIn. If there's a professional connection that someone wants to connect professionally, drop me a line. I also do, you know, it's interesting. I've been doing positive psychology science for a long time. That's sort of the new mode of psychology. You know, for many, many years, psychology was about mental illness and how to address that. And then people started to realize about 30, 35 years ago that we wanted to also address mental and physical, emotional wellness. And so Dr. E.P. Seligman, he's the one who is known as the father of positive psychology, started to research things like happiness and altruism and success. And so that area of study has been really interesting to me. And I love positive psychology research and the logic aspect of the mind. However, I also do intuitive readings for people. And I recently, in the past year, started working professionally with Sedona at Ward Center, doing professional readings. And I do readings for people internationally. All they need to do is connect with the store at Sedona, Hawaii.
Okay. So that's... not something that you do, like they wouldn't contact you directly to get a reading. They would contact the store.
That's the best way at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. But I'm also developing an online course and series of courses, and that'll be launched in the new year. But I'm very excited, you know, lots of transitions and changes occurring in the world and trying to address the needs of the audience. That's really where it's at, is finding the right modalities to address what is needed by the people who need the services. So when I'm working with a logic-minded person, I tend to focus more on the positive psychology research. When I'm working with someone who's more intuitive, I tend to focus there. Ideally, though, we use both. We use all of our gifts and skills and talents, and then we're able to help people in a holistic way.
Definitely. That's so great. I know another place they can find you.
Oh, yes.
And the Light of Conscience community on Facebook.
Beautiful. I love your community.
Oh, thank you, Lonnie. I love that you're a part of it. I really do. It's such a joy to have you anywhere.
It's funny because we have a lot of friends in common, and it's so much like that here in Hawaii, but also worldwide, is that you find you know people, and it's not even 6 degrees of separation. It's 1 degree of separation that you know each other, and you know somebody else that you love who loves the person that you love.
Yeah, it's fun. And that's what, you know, that's what my community is really the intention for. It is just like, okay, we're all soul family. Like, we're all way showers. We're all in this together, and we all want to uplift the world. So come and hang out, because like Lonnie was saying, you might have to spend some time with people that aren't as positive as you, maybe, and that's okay. We accept everything. However, when we can hang out with people who are more like us in that vibrational sense, it helps us to maintain our own light in all darkness, whether we're with those people anymore or not. We just, that connection and that, it just continues to build the light within. And oh, it's so, you know, needed right now.
It's based in science as well. There's actually been research done that the 5 closest people, the people you spend the most time with, influence you the most. And so if you're constantly spending time around people who are very difficult, it is going to impact you in some way. But if you balance it out with time on your own, some time in solitude, as well as time with others who are uplifting you, you'll be fine. It's not that you have to cut off ties completely. There are times if you have a toxic person in your life that you have to cut off ties, but most of the time we're able to modulate things. And the thing to remember too is if you're empathic, it's really important to find modalities and ways to heal, to clear that energy. I often will take Epsom salt baths and clear off anything that is, I call it residue-doo, any residue-doo from the day that's not mine. At least, you know, I have enough of my own stuff to deal with without carrying other people's depression or sadness or anger or whatever's going on in the world. So if I take a salt bath or go into the ocean, it clears it right away. I also visualize a light bubble around me, you know, white light or sometimes green light to help shield from the harsher energies. And there's a lot of different, this is actually also based in science. For people who are not into woo-woo, which I don't think is going to be anybody on your podcast. I think all of us are into woo-woo. But for anybody who's not, there's actually some research on this. Dr. Judith Orloff, who is a psychiatrist, talks about energy and how you can shield yourself from negative energies by visualizing colored light, as well as, you know, of course, prayer. And you don't have to be any particular type of religion to pray, just allowing yourself to be open to the possibility that there are higher powers beyond us, and allowing ourselves to, you know, thank you, Spirit, for guiding us to the right people at the right time. Thank you for protecting us from any harm. Thank you for keeping the world safe, that type of thing. And then meditation for peace to hear the answers when Spirit speaks to us.
Well, I just soaked all of that up as a newly realized empath. Not realized, but newly realized that I am an empath.
Oh, yes, you really
I'm
are.
Like, okay, how do I?
I have a couple of great book recommendations.
Oh, good. Let me actually. I wonder if you could share those now, because I'm sure some of the listeners are like, please tell me these books.
Definitely, definitely. So for energy, definitely Dr. Judith Orloff is a good person to check into. If you're more woo-woo minded, then Sonia Choquette is a good person. She wrote Trust Your Vibes. And then in terms of figuring out what you really want to do, I mean, I really do love my own book, but it feels a little self-serving to say that. But I'm gonna give a couple of recommendations and then also recommend my own book. I really like Caroline Adams Miller and her book, Best Life. Let me see if I can find the title on that. It's an excellent book, and you can type her into Barnes & Noble or Amazon. And she's done positive psychology research on bucket list items that people who want to fulfill their bucket list. She also has done research on grit, which is the ability to tough it out and to make it through difficult times. And she's actually a student of Dr. Seligman. So it's really interesting, speaking of interconnections, how people are able to interconnect with their mentors and then bring something beautiful to the world. So her book is called Creating Your Best Life. That's to really examine your bucket list. And then the other book that she wrote that I love is called Getting Grit. And that's about sustaining your ability to tough it out so that you can bring about your ideal life. And then my book is the Creating Co-Powerment Workbook. It really helps people figure out what they want to do, what's holding them back, and how to remove the obstacles to make it happen. And that's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble as well. It's also available at Sedona at Ward Center.
Awesome. I am so excited. I love to read, and I haven't been reading as much. And you know, when you were talking about that, one of your clients that watched a lot of TV with her husband. I actually watched quite a bit of TV now too with my husband. Not that I don't like the shows. That is the thing. Like, he has shows that I will not watch, and I just don't. I go read, or I color, or I edit podcasts, or I do something else. But I've realized that even the shows that I do like, I probably don't need to spend quite as many nights watching them, and I could take one or two of those nights and read, or like I said, I like to color. It's just so calming, and I love colors.
That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. Yeah. And it's very, it's really important as an empathic person to have time in solitude to know that it's not being alone. It's recharging your battery and really, you know, being able to then face the world and be with other people from a place of comfort as opposed to overwhelm.
I definitely resonate with that. I've always been okay alone. Or, you know, to be in my own energy only is, I mean, even as a kid, I would just kind of sit in the corner and play by myself. And I was happy.
Completely content. Exactly. I was the same.
Yeah.
So I have two other book recommendations.
Okay. Awesome. Let's get those. And then I think it's getting time where we need to close, but I'm so happy to have these books and all of your energy and yay. Okay. What are the other two?
So Martin E.P. Seligman, who's the father of positive psychology, his most recent book is called Flourish. And it's based on his research on learned optimism and authentic happiness. He's really remarkable. He discovered that people do have a set point of optimism or pessimism. However, it is possible to reset your set point to a higher level to be more optimistic in life. And Flourish covers his research very well. And it approaches it in a very readable, relatable way. So that one's excellent. And then the other person I highly recommend is my mentor and teacher, Dr. Robert Holden. He's a British researcher who's done work on love. He has a wonderful book called Lovability. He has another book on success called Success Intelligence. And also one on happiness called Happiness Now. So there's many, many options out there. But the thing to remember is, you know, there are self-help books and books that are, you know, meant to guide us toward better lives, but why not base that in some actual research and also base it on what feels right for you as a person who may have multiple ways of interacting in the world. We may be logic-minded, but we also may be intuitive-minded. For those of us who are intuitive-minded, again, Sonia Choquette is always a great author to look into. She wrote a book called Trust Your Vibes. And then Dr. Judith Orloff, who writes about energy and is a psychiatrist by practice, but really focuses on the spiritual and energy aspects of life. So there's no need to be either or. You really can read all of them and enjoy them.
Definitely. Yeah, that's something that our society likes to
pigeonhole people.
Kind of give us. Yeah, it's like, okay, you can do this or that. No, let's do both.
I like to do it all, which is, you know, a challenge in and of itself. But anyway, it was such a joy to talk with you and your listeners. And if they have any questions, feel free to contact me at Lonnie@copowerment.com or take a look at my website or drop by. I'm reading at Sedona on Tuesday evenings. If you're here in Honolulu, stop.
Yeah, come on over to Hawaii, everyone. It's really fun. Thank you so, so much, Lonnie. I just wish you the best day ever, always. And I'm so happy that I was able to have you on the podcast. Wow. If you're like me, you're going to be reading a lot. So I have a question for you. Do you remember when you first kind of started to dabble in the way of the heart and thought, you know, I've known for a long time and I've just kept doing what society does because everyone else is doing it and it's like the thing that makes me comfortable or makes me feel like, you know, I make other people comfortable? Yeah, I remember too. And I remember the moment, and then the time after the moment, I thought, you know what? I need to do something else. I need to start following my heart rather than listening to all the words that my head and other people are telling me are the way of living. And I had a tough time. And I think most of us did. Just remember that. And you know what? When you start to follow your heart, which all of you have, you start meeting people that are doing the same thing or that want so badly to be doing the same thing. please share this podcast with them. The whole point is to inspire not only you to stay on that heart path, because no matter how far in you go, there's always the outside stuff knocking on the door, like, hey, what about me? But it's also to share these stories with people who want so badly to know that it's okay to be just who they are. So when you run into them, you tell them about the Light of Conscience podcast, the Light of Conscience community on Facebook, and Club LC. This is a gathering place. It's to support people who are really yearning to stay on the path and be on the path and learn more about who they really, really are, and their spirituality is top priority. That's what it's all about. That's what I needed. So that's what I've created, and I continue to tweak it and add things. And if you haven't checked it out in a while, I encourage you to. It's bit.ly/club, capital L, capital C, for the Light of Conscience. And my name is, of course, very conveniently also Laura Christine. I'll be adding Kundalini yoga classes to that. I'll be adding some very intense yet amazingly gentle and loving self-mastery circles, which you can join for 1 month, try it out, see if you like it, and then if you need more, stay for another month. If you don't, then go, and someone else can come in and fill that spot. So really exciting things happening. It's not all up yet. I just wanted to kind of give you a little preview and tell you, you know, when you meet those people who were just like where we were one day, and maybe struggling a little bit, scared, whatever, just give, you know, you don't even have to give them the Light of Conscience stuff, but give them something so that they can see that it is so, so possible. And it's really beautiful when you get past the fear and you just follow that light within. That is your conscience. And I will be done now. I love you. I hope you have a fabulous day. And we'll see you in the Light of Conscience.
And don't give up on your life. Your dreams give hope and offer light. Let's make love to the beauty of the lives we've yet to live.